Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to move this so you guys up front can see me. I know Jeff and JP want to see me, so I don't want to, you know, rob you of that pleasure. So let me pray for us before we get started. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. Lord, we don't take this day for granted. Thank you for waking us up this morning, Lord. Thank you for giving us the ability and the energy to move about and to interact with other people and to enjoy our families and food and all types of things. Church, Lord, we thank you for bringing us here tonight in freedom, Lord, where we can just come together without apology and without being ashamed or in secret. We don't have to come and try to hide what we're doing, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to come together in the name of Jesus and to worship and to celebrate and to strategize, Lord. We're a body of believers, and we're a body of missionaries who are serious about taking the Great Commission out into the community and beyond. And so, Lord, as much as this is a worship session, Lord, a time of worship with you, Lord, we're looking forward for you to fill us with your wisdom and your energy and your power, Lord, so that we can go out and be useful in your kingdom. Lord, I pray that for the next few moments, Lord, I pray that you will hide me behind the cross of the Lord Jesus, because I'm insignificant and he's everything. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would hide me there, Lord, and just speak to your people, Lord. Speak to your people through your word. And we thank you for your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So we're not slaves, not anymore. And some of you in here tonight may not have realized that you've ever been a slave. You may be thinking, well, Brett, you know, my life may not have been perfect, and, you know, I may have had some difficult seasons and some challenges, but heck, I don't ever remember being a slave. Well, I'm here to tell you that that you have been, and by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, you've been set free. So we're going to go to a psalm tonight, and you know, the Psalms are a wonderful book to visit for a whole bunch of reasons at any time. But it's when you're in need of encouragement, when you are heartbroken, when you are in a season of lament, you're down and out, and you need picking up, the Psalms are a great place to go. And so we're going to camp out there for a few moments here tonight. We're just going to bite off and slowly chew a couple of verses that I know are going to speak to your heart. They definitely spoke to my heart this week as I was preparing this message. So let's read together, and I'm going to read out loud. You can just read with me in your minds and in your hearts on the screen. But we're going to read Psalm 107, verses 10 through 16. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the word of God, or the words of God, and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Verse 12. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. And then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death, and he burst their bonds apart. Verse 15. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. That's good. Let's go back for a second and I want you to say something with me. We're going to read verse 14 together. On the count of three. One, two, three. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he burst their bonds apart. He burst their bonds apart. Now, I want you to consider with me just for a moment the word bonds. Okay, now that is not a word that is going to be completely foreign to anyone in this room. However, it's not really a word that we use very often, particularly in this context, bonds. And this word would suggest, in the obvious, I would say, some type of constraint or some type of restrictive band. That is put around the hands or the feet that would be representative of oppression or constraint, okay? Even in the 21st century that we're sitting here celebrating today, it makes us think of the picture of a slave, does it not? When you think of bonds being put around the hands and the feet, yes, you might have a modern-day image that would come to your mind of someone in a maximum security prison being transported or something like that. But when you take away the modern-day terminology and replace it with something like bonds around the hands or the feet, then you no doubt might think about a slave. Now, if we go back to verse 10 that we just read, we see a specific reference to prisoners. See that? Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. So when you read something like that, that there is someone who is suffering, there is someone who is bound, there is someone who is constrained, there is someone who's oppressed and hurting. The question that you should ask is why? Why? What happened? What did they do? What has happened to them? Is it just? Is it unjust? Why are these people in this predicament? Well, we don't have to look very far to answer that question. Look again with me to verse 11. It's up on the screen. For they rebelled or had rebelled against the words of God and spurned or rejected. We don't use the word spurned very often, but they had turned their backs on, had rejected, had given the Heisman pose to the counsel of the Most High God, which suggests it had been available to them once before, right? It's not that they were ignorant of it or had never had the opportunity to experience it. They had had it, the counsel of the Most High God, and they rebelled against it. These people, who are these people anyway? Who are these people that the psalmist is talking about? Anybody? The children of God, God's people. They had turned their backs on the will, the commands, and the ways of God, that he was gracious and merciful to share with them and to show them. See, these people, these very people had once prospered greatly underneath the sovereignty and provision, the endless, bottomless, limitless provision of the Most High God. They had benefited from that and under that, knowing they were the people of God, but they had now turned to their own resources and their own selfish desires to satisfy themselves, to scratch their various itches. They had become pursuers of pleasure and had decided to seek out security in the things that they could acquire on their own, in their own strength, with their own resources. And as a result of them doing that very foolish thing, they had become enslaved or imprisoned. Now, that's not real smart, is it? Is it? It's like, man, these people are the children of God and they know it. And God has revealed himself to them in a, I would say, a very clear way. And they had prospered over and over again. And they decided to turn away from that and trust in themselves, in the person in the mirror. Instead of worshiping God, they began to worship the offerings of their world, of the world, their world at that time. They began worshiping the offerings of the prince of the power of the air and this world, the devil. What kind of people rebel against the Most High God? All of us do we not? Man. And as a result, God had allowed them, had allowed an enemy nation to invade them and take them captive and oppress them. So what does this story have to do with us today? Well, none of you are going to be surprised with what I have to say next, but the people in this story are representative of us in this room tonight, are they not? We have all said in one way or another, our ways are better than your ways, God. I doubt any of you in here tonight have ever said that word for word. Maybe you have. There was a time in your life when you were a serious rebel against the things of God, and you may have said something like that word for word, but in your own way, if you've never said something quite like that, you've said it in other ways. You've said, God, even though you have revealed yourself to me in a general way and a specific way, I'm still going to do it my way. Did you know that when it comes to revelation, if you've ever studied theology, or you don't have to be a seminary graduate to know a little something about general revelation and specific revelation. See, the Bible tells us that God reveals himself to all humanity in nature so that everyone can see the glory of God. So no one has an excuse. But then there's a specific revelation to the people of God of the spiritual things and the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And there are people in this room, or we could say the people in this room, who have received general and specific revelation from the Most High God, and at times we have said, okay, but I think I've got this for now. Whether we realize it or not, when we take that stance, whether we do it boldly or indirectly, and we make that declaration, we become enslaved. Okay? Whether you realize it or not, you forego your freedom. And you become a slave. with all the hope and trajectory of a slave. Make no mistake. You know, sometimes when we use the analogy of a slave or the euphemism of a slave, it doesn't seem so bad because we're not literally in iron chains behind bars in ragged clothing and starving to death and freezing. But we have the same outlook as a slave to this world that a slave in a prison would have. See, a slave has no chance for abundant life. Okay? And they must do what their master says at all times, no matter what. The definition of a slave is that someone owns them or owns you. You are owned by someone else. And you must do what they say because they have purchased you and they own you. What a lousy choice for the people of God to make, don't you think? Consider the choice Adam and Eve made for just a moment. They were free and blessed in every perfect way imaginable, and they decided to go another way, as we're all familiar with. As a result, they became slaves to sin and death and passed the same thing on to the rest of humanity by the sins of one man. Sin entered the world. Now, this prison that slaves live in can take on the form of many different oppressions and sins. Let me just name a few of them here. Envy. Anybody that lives in this modern day, in this country, knows a little something about envy. It is on full display and on steroids in this social media world that we live in, is it not? I mean, it is just a fertile breeding ground, if you will, for envy, the world that we live in. It is on full display. Sexual sin, anger against strangers and against the people that we love, the love of money, malice and slander towards others, self-righteousness, all kinds of pride, gossip about others we know and those we don't even know at all. Shame associated with our identity, about the things we have done and the things that have been done to us. Chronic anxiety and worry, and ultimately the fear of death. When you name things like that, things that we're all familiar with, either directly or indirectly or both, it's easy to see how Psalm 107 is about us, and it applies to each of us. But we tell ourselves differently, don't we? We are fooled sometimes into thinking that, well, this life that we're living right now, man, this is what it means to be free, living in the good U.S. of A. and having this, that, and the other. Let me tell you something. All of you know here that I have the privilege of being a biblical counselor along with Bobby here at the Crosswind Counseling Center. And I can tell you that every day I experience people coming in to my counseling office in desperation. People who are down and out. In case you didn't know, if you've never been to counseling before, people generally don't go to counseling when everything is great. And that's okay. I'm glad they come. But they don't usually come to counseling proactively or ahead of time. It's usually when things are pretty bad. So I see a lot of people who are hurting and in desperation. And these people come to me oftentimes, and a lot of times they're believers or they're church people, because, I mean, that makes sense. They know that I'm a biblical counselor and I work at a place with cross in the title. So they come and they claim to know God and they claim to love God and they claim to be free because Christ has set them free. and who the Son has set free is free indeed. And they can quote it with tears streaming down their faces. But then I look into their eyes, and the words that come out of their mouths and their body language tells an entirely different story. It tells a different story about how they feel about being free or not. The Bible tells us that if we spend our lives enslaved to the sins of this world, the flesh and the devil, we will spend eternity as slaves to torment in those same chains. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says this, and just, it's not on the screen, but Peter tells us that God describes those in hell as people being in chains of utter darkness. And obviously, if that's the end of the story, that's really bad news. That's bad news. That means that our lives are meaningless. It means that our lives are hopeless. We have no hope. We're literally suffering in vain. But thanks be to God, that is not the end of the story. The gospel, the story of Jesus, is what brings us here tonight. It is what joins us together. It is the reason why we have a celebration gathering every week with music and preaching and fellowship and reception and coffee and lemonade and hugs and handshakes. All of that is fueled by the gospel. The gospel is our source of hope. Let's look at verse 13 again from the little chunk that we read in the beginning. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. I'm going to count to three, and I want everyone to read that out loud with me. Really loud, okay? One, two, three. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. You see that? You see that, JP? Deliverance from distress. Why did He do that? After what the people had done, the choices they had made, the bed they had made to lie in, why did He deliver them? Because they're His. They belong to Him. And He loves them, and He is faithful to them, to us. All of humanity needs a Savior who is willing and able to burst those bonds apart. Who is qualified to do that? Who? Jesus. 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 See, this psalm that we just read together is the song of the redeemed. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We all know that song. It's a song of the redeemed. Anybody in here? I heard a story one time. I'm not going to tell it in its length, but just a quick little snippet because it hit home with me, and I thought, oh man, I can feel that. This particular pastor was talking about redemption, and he made a reference to Chuck E. Cheese. Anybody ever been to Chuck E. Cheese? Yeah, I know you have. I used to spend quite a bit of time in Chuck E. Cheese when Jay, my son, was little. That's just where he loved to go, like all little kids back then his age. I'm sure kids, I guess they still love to go to Chuck E. Cheese. I don't know, but we used to go to Chuck E. Cheese from time to time. And so you got all these games, you know, skee ball and I like the basketball thing. And you got the basketball goal that moves up and back and all those different things and the whack-a-mole and so on and so forth. And as you're playing these games, they got these little things on the front of each machine with a slot. Right? You know what I'm talking about? And when you're done playing your game, something comes out of the slot, right? What comes out? Tickets, right? Tickets. And, you know, when I would take Jay, not many tickets would come out. You know, he's a little kid, and we would go do skee ball, and he wouldn't do it right, and I would even show him how to do it, but he just wanted to, like, throw it, and he didn't have the patience and whatnot, but I was going to let him do his thing. But as a result, not many tickets came out. And to be quite honest with you, when I would take over or when I would play some games, not many more came out when I played either. but nonetheless, you play forever, and you get your tickets. And then you go to the Redemption Corner or the Chuck E's store or whatever it is, right? And there's like all these different layers and, you know, gigantic stuffed animals up at the top and lava lamps and CB radios or whatever in the middle. And then you got all the way down to the little trinkets. And everyone knows the story. You got to have like a year's worth of tickets to get the things at the top, right? The real good stuff, the good stuff, you know, the big prizes, right? And ultimately, you know, Jay and I would normally either get, you know, the erasers or the little plastic dinosaurs or maybe a pencil with a fuzzy thing on the end of it or something. That's about all we had tickets for, even though it looked like we had a lot more. And that's a corny little example, but this pastor was using that as not having enough for redemption. And he mentioned who has enough tickets for the ultimate prize of life. And when you look through the Bible and you read it from cover to cover and you see names like Abraham and Moses and King David and Ezekiel and Daniel and Job and Noah and all these heroes of the faith, all of them, though, have sinned against God and cannot offer redemption. They can't get the stuff at the top. We all fall short. None of us have enough or can get enough for the ultimate prize of life, which is redemption. Praise be to God tonight. Jesus has come and he's done all of the work required for full and complete and never-ending eternal redemption and freedom. 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 Jesus, the name Yeshua. We're about to enter into the holiday season, and Christmas is right around the corner. I bet some people in here have even bought a few gifts already. Raise your hand if you've already bought a Christmas gift for someone. Okay, I was going to say, somebody has. God bless you. Yeah, I know, Dina, you're a planner. I know, you're organized. You see, she gets ahead of the. No, that's good. But so we're headed into the holiday season, and we'll have a time where we light candles and we tell the Christmas story in parts, developed over a few weeks, and you'll hear the name Yeshua, Jesus. We'll share the birth story in the book of Luke, and we'll talk about, we're going to name him Jesus, Yeshua, which means God saves. God alone saves. God loves the world so much that he does not leave us enslaved. He declares that I love you so much that I will break your bonds, the bonds that you deserve, and make you a child of mine. We all desire freedom in here tonight. You know, it is one thing to know and believe, and it is one thing to know and to want to believe. Let me say that again, okay? It's one thing to know and believe. It's another thing to know and want to believe. If you believe on the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God tonight, if you believe that, if you believe that Jesus is the way, He's the Son of God, and He has done all the work required for full redemption. If you believe that in your heart, you can be saved. The Bible says all of those who believe will be saved. Tonight, if you believe that, let me ask you, is there anything that you're not willing to let go of? To deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Is there anything that you just can't let go of? I hope not. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you for this time together to worship you. Thank you for the gift of your word, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you will just continue to use us for your glory. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.